Thanks, Hal. Eric?
I'm not sure that absolutely every patient with HER2-positive breast cancer needs to receive AC followed by paclitaxel, and particularly for someone who either, for a variety of reasons, might not want to receive paclitaxel or a taxane, or for a patient who's at somewhat lower risk of disease recurrence. I don't think it's at all unreasonable based on HERA to give four cycles of AC followed by a year of trastuzumab. It's a risk reduction that is every bit as big as in the U.S. trials.
What kind of patient would you think about doing that in?
Patient with a node-negative 2-centimeter ERPR-positive breast cancer that's also HER2-positive.
Aman?
But how about the patients who now looking at that FinHER trial where you are getting same degree of reduction in risk of recurrence with just 9 weeks of therapy, which is very consistent with our neoadjuvant data of a handful of patients where we have patients gotten 24 weeks of therapy, and up till now, with close to 3-year follow-up, not a single patient in the chemo plus trastuzumab arm has developed recurrent disease, whereas two patients in the control group have developed recurrent disease.
What's the 95% confidence limit around that hazard ratio in FinHER? Do you know? It's got to be pretty big.
If you look at the data and the p-values are highly significant and the proportional reduction in risk of recurrence is exactly of the same magnitude as you saw with 5,000 plus patients and years of observation, which again speaks far more strongly in favor of concomitant chemo plus trastuzumab therapy.
Cliff?
I hear this, and I don't know if I can enunciate this clearly, but we have to be very careful about these hazards, because imagine that whenever you initiate trastuzumab, it always knocks down your hazard by half whenever you start. Then, in fact, across all these studies, no matter when you started it, you would always see the 50% hazard reduction. But what happens in the time up until you start Herceptin is what concerns the patients. And so the later use could be inferior in HERA as compared to the early trials, and yet you're going to get the same hazard reduction in those trials. It's about the absolute benefits. The longer you wait, there's a conditional probability issue. That's what I'm trying to say.
George?
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is we don't know yet. We've been fooled by these curves, which we look at and impress us so much. But we're talking in the HERA trial, 1-year median follow-up. We're talking, 18 months median follow-up for Edith Perez's trial. Edith Perez's trial, with all due regard, was not a statistically significant trial. It did not meet O'Brien-Fleming boundaries, and it represented an unplanned early analysis. So we just simply need some more follow-up time on this. Biologically, it makes sense that concomitant therapy works. We've got ample preclinical data suggesting that trastuzumab is a great magnifier of chemotherapy-induced apoptosis. We've known that for years. So it wouldn't surprise you if that's going to be the answer in the clinic as well. But we don't have that answer yet.
Is there a patient you could describe in your practice that you would use a shorter duration, and what duration would you use, adjuvant therapy?
I'll describe a patient.
Okay.
A patient who develops cardiac toxicity. And then that patient, I stop it, and I tell her that, in fact, there are data to support the fact that she may do every bit as well, but I wouldn't do it in anyone else at the moment.
Peter?
I would hope that from the NSABP and from the intergroup, we saw an analysis about those 20% of patients that did not complete the year of trastuzumab. Because if that replicates the FinHER experience, that perhaps 3 months can give you a large effect, that would convince me that short treatment would be.
How about right now in a non-protocol setting? Is there a situation where you would use less than a year's duration?
I think right now the data that I'm most confident in is the year of therapy with the trastuzumab starting concurrently with the chemotherapy.
Kathy?
I think this discussion is actually the reason not to do subsets and unplanned interim analyses when there isn't enough information. Essentially, this difference is not different than if we hadn't seen the results of these trials at all, because the results are so unstable for the comparisons between the two Herceptin-containing arms of the BCIRG trial, for the comparison of concurrent versus sequential in the NCCTG trial, that those results may change with just a few number of events. It's unlikely that they're going to flip, but they may change with a few number of events. This is the same reason why good trial attorneys ask questions that they know are going to be objected to and they'll be booted out. Because once you have put this out there, you can't take it back. And no matter how many times you tell people you can't analyze this, it's too early, they will do so. And we do so at the potential detriment to our patients because it leads us to assume things that we don't know.
Chuck?